Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode number 219. It's the week of Christmas 2015. I'd like to thank you for coming along. This is my annual Message of Peace podcast, which I will talk about a little bit later in the show. But if you checked out the title of the podcast, you will see that it's called Glitter, What Is It Good For? Message of Peace. So we're going to talk a little bit about my one-day, one-episode-only societal movement to eliminate glitter from our society. And, you know, glitter, what is it good for anyway? So I've got a couple guests in my podcast studio today. I got Thing One and Thing Two flanking me on both sides, also known as my wife Monica and my daughter Lucy Ellis. And my dog Blue is on the floor, so we have some downtime in between activities today, so I decided to again produce the latest episode of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. And if you're a returning listener, I'd like to thank you for coming back. If you're a new listener, this might not be the best episode to try out the podcast on because it's going to be a little disjointed until we get to the special section where I give my annual message of peace. So let's talk a little bit about glitter. We got several Christmas cards this year that had glitter attached. Now, the problem with glitter is that it doesn't stay attached to the Christmas cards. Now, I like getting Christmas cards, but there's really no use for glitter. So what do you think about that?
I think glitter is the worst thing. It gets on everything. It gets on your clothes, gets on your body. It somehow gets outside. It gets on the stairs.
It gets in your food.
It basically end up beating it at the end, or it ends up in the wash, and it ends up over all of the clothes in the washing machine.
Well, how would you know that? You don't wash any clothes around here.
Oh, that was But we wonder, those of you who send us glitter cards, do you hate us or do you love us?
Yeah, we're trying to figure out really what the use, you know, what glitter is good for, other than for it coming off. As soon as you pull the Christmas card out of the envelope, the glitter immediately falls on the counter or on top of your keyboard. It gets on your fingertips, and then when you either pick your nose or scratch your cheek or something like your cheek on your face, something like that, you get glitter on your face. I even found it on top of the fence in our backyard somehow. I'm not really sure how it ended up there. What do you think about glitter?
Well, probably it was on the cat who got on the fence, who then tracked the glitter all over the backyard.
Well, how did the glitter get on the cat?
Because the cat was in the house.
And the glitter is in the house?
Yeah.
So we're gonna push this glitter-free Christmas card movement here.
Yep.
I can't really think of any use of glitter at all. I really can't think of any at all other than Christmas cards. And then you see, and I wonder if other people feel the same way. If you know, maybe in the email bag section of the show, somebody could send the email in.
Right, we can invite people in to prove us wrong. What do you find glitter useful for? What do you love about glitter?
What do you hate about glitter?
I think at this point in time, we're going to have to turn our house into a glitter-free zone.
So my goal is to have no glitter at all in life. Yep. And that would be a good goal. I'm not going to make it a New Year's resolution because if you're a regular listener to the show, you know that I don't make resolutions because I don't even keep them. Right. So that's why I'm kind of limiting this movement to a one-day, one-episode-only movement, getting the word out there for the anti-glitter establishment, kind of like a gluten-free.
Right, if people can go gluten-free, we can go glitter-free.
Yeah, I don't see why not. You want to go glitter-free?
I want to go glitter-free. No glitter for all.
Okay. All right. Any last words on the first segment of the show about glitter-free society?
I just want to thank you for having me on your show. This is the first time in 219 episodes
that
I've
been
invited to chime in, and I got picked to really participate in this very heavy topic.
Well, I think you wrote into the show. You sent me
glitter,
an email, didn't you? Just to get my attention.
You trusted me a lot to let me step in on the glitter dialogue and that debate, make my debut, so I'm really honored.
Well, I do trust you with a lot of stuff in my life, so I guess it would be okay to let you come on the show
to
and talk about something
glitter,
as insignificant as glitter.
As
yeah.
important as glitter.
I thank you for letting me chime in for the second time on your show after that story on the snake that I told.
All right, that was a good story.
I'm glad that you let me share my view about glitter.
All right, so we're going to move on to the next section of the show. I'd like to thank my guests, Monica and Lucy Ellis. You're welcome back at any time, but you just need to send me an email so I know that you want to get on the show, and we'll schedule you some time to come on the show. All right, well, so much for the discussion about glitter. That was just something that I've been thinking about, and hopefully you thought that was funny. We kind of had a little bit of fun as a family putting that together. Normally, I go solo in the podcast. However, my wife did have quite a point there when she says that I've been producing the show for so long and never really talked to her on the podcast. So as long as she sends me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com, I will schedule her more time on the show, and you'll get to hear more from her as time goes on. So, okay, well, let's just talk about a couple things here. The really big part of the show today is going to be the email bag and then the message of peace at the end of the show, because I got some really good emails, and there was a race that I was going to be working in March got canceled, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that and how disappointed I was in that. You've probably heard me talk about before, if you're a regular listener to the show, that I follow the English Premier League professional soccer league, and I follow those games. And there's a team that's doing really well this year, Leicester City, and they got promoted. The way the English soccer works, or they call it English football, is there's different divisions, kind of like maybe here in the United States, there's Major League Baseball, and then there's maybe AAA. You know, the double A ball and stuff like that. Well, it's the same with soccer in England. There's the top level, which is the Premier League, and then below that you have the, I think it's called the Championship Division or the Championship League. Let me just get that straight before I say that. They call it the Football League Championship. And Leicester City got promoted at the end of 2013-2014, but I did not know that. They're doing really well this year, and they've got a player on their team with the last name of Vardy, and this guy is really good. So I was watching the game that I had taped where they were playing Chelsea, and I was just curious to know when they had gotten promoted to the top league. So I searched them on my device, and would you know it, the result of the game was ruined because I saw the result. And I've talked about this before about how hard it is to tape soccer games that I want to watch at a later date because I just can't sit there for 2 hours and watch the whole game straight through. So I'll tape it and I can sit down. Sometimes I watch it in segments. It's, for me, watching soccer on TV is very relaxing. I've got this chair in my house I call it the magic chair. And I may have mentioned this before. The cool thing about the magic chair is that when you sit in it, you really don't notice anything else but the television set that's sitting right in front of the magic chair. And it's just a very relaxing. Somebody could be standing next to you asking you when you're going to go out and put the Christmas lights up or something like that, but you don't hear any of that. I mean, or they want to know when you're going to cut the grass or, when are you going to take me to the store? You just don't hear anything when you're in the magic chair except for what's coming out of the TV. And so I like to sit in my magic chair while I'm watching soccer because it's so relaxing. Well, I've talked about how it's so hard to avoid any media so you don't get these games ruined. And would you believe, even with something like the English Premier League, who some of y'all out there might be saying, well, what's that? What is the English Premier League? I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, it's known around the world. It's probably the top, and arguably the top level of professional soccer in the whole world. And there's some other leagues that are, in my opinion, pretty close. But So I Googled Leicester City Football Club, and I got, because I wanted to read about it, and I got the result. The result of the game came up in, I think, my Google search, and I was sitting there watching the game, and it just kind of ruined it. Because in soccer, if you already know what the result is, it really does ruin the game. For me, it does, because when you say the game is 2-1, and you know it's 2-1, and you at the end of the first half, it's 2-1. Why are you going to watch the second half if you know there aren't any goals? I watch the game to watch the goals. And I've talked about that before several times in the show. It is so hard, even with something like the English Premier League, to avoid any media, even with something like that that is not even in this country, to avoid any media reports of these results. I don't think any of that made any sense. I'd have to run that, rewind all that to see if it makes any sense. I was only looking up this player's name, and I got the result, and it was a little disappointing. Speaking of sports, I went to the Bills and Buffalo Bills Washington Redskins game back on the 20th and of December. It was at FedEx Field, and I'm a Bills fan, and I just had a great time. The Bills lost, but we had a great time tailgating ahead of time and drinking some beers on the inside, and there was lots and lots of Bills fans there. Man, it seemed like it was almost half and half when you were walking around outside. It was crazy. Redskins pulled it out. I had not been to a professional football game in many years, and that was the first time in my life I'd ever seen the Buffalo Bills play live. And I've been a fan since third grade when I was 8, which would have been 1977. We lived in Buffalo, New York for 1 year. And you know, that's when I got hooked on the Bills, and I've been a fan ever since. So it was really exciting to go. We had great seats, about 10 rows up, and paid pretty heavy price for those. They're just about $150 a piece. But to me, it was worth it because I probably will not ever travel up to Buffalo to go to any football games. And the only times I would ever see them would be if they ever played in Charlotte or in Washington. And they only come to Washington about every 8 years. So it's lots of fun. And of course, when you're sitting there live, you're definitely not going to get ruined. You're not going to get any media reports and have the game ruined. I'm going to get into the email bag section of the show here in a second, but I want to just make fun of another thing that I saw. Oh, then I'll talk a little bit about my training before we get into the email bags. I had a monster training week last week. I saw a commercial on TV. Speaking of glitter, there is some right here on my computer, and now it's on my finger. And who knows where that piece of glitter will end up. When I leave the house today, I could actually probably take it with me and deposit it somewhere, and somebody else will then be having problems with glitter. It's all over my fingers now because it's all over the counter here in my podcast studio, which doubles as our kitchen counter. Okay, it was a Verizon commercial on TV. And, you know, all you do is you can watch 10 minutes of TV and you're going to see probably 3 ads for cell phones or devices or whatever. And this is the first time I had ever seen a commercial that was telling the viewer to give the gift of more data. I just thought that was really, really weird and kind of funny and crazy. You know, give the gift of more data. I just thought that was kind of ridiculous, you know, to give data as a gift. I guess the only thing that's more ridiculous than giving the gift of data is giving somebody a gift card. You might as well just give them money because that's what a gift card is. And I know that's what our society has kind of become. But I just thought that was funny. Give the gift of more data. This is what it says on their website. This is droid-life.com, I guess Verizon. Let's face it, the times are changing. Instead of gifting hideous Christmas sweaters or gift cards, you can now give the gift of free cellular data brought to you by Verizon. Through Verizon's website or through the Verizon Messages app on Android, you can gift 1 gigabyte of high-speed LTE data to a loved one priced at $10 that is billed directly to your account. So that is the gift of data. 1 gigabyte is $10. So if you ever wondered how much a gigabyte costs, it costs $10. So I thought that was kind of funny. I don't know why I put that in the podcast, but it was it's in my stack of stuff here. And okay, let's talk a little bit about training. Because I had a monster week. I had 48 miles last week. I did, what did I do? I did 20 and 10 on the weekend. And then I did 8, 6, and 4. I think that's 18. So 18 plus 30 should be, that should be 48. I can't do the public math like I've said. Yeah, that's 48. Yeah, let me talk a little bit about the stuff in the middle of the week was easy. The 20 miler on this past Saturday morning, which would have been the 19th. Oh, then I got to tell you about this craziness I did on Sunday because I got up so early because I was getting picked up for the football game at 8:30 in the morning. So I had to get 10 miles before 8:30 in the morning. We had a Christmas party the night before, which was the Friday the 18th. And this was mostly my wife's girlfriends, but I know all the husbands, and it was kind of a dress up party. And this is probably there's like two of the best parties. Like I have a work-involved party that's pretty good. But then there's two parties that we have that are for our like all non-work is just our social people that we know around our town that where we live. And so this was one of two of those. The second one was canceled because the hostess got sick, and that was a real shame. But anyway, this one would have been a tacky sweater party. But this was a dressy party where they want everybody dressed up, and it's really a lot of fun. And all the women are all, you know, dolled up, and it's great. And it's usually one of the nights that my wife has a few drinks, and we just have a great time. But it always seems to fall on a bad night for me, and so the next day I had to do a 20-miler. Well, you really don't want to spend too much time at a Christmas party when you got to do a 20-miler the next morning. Several years ago, when I was training for, I think, another 50-miler, I got to the point where I was doing, when training for a 50-mile race, doing 20-mile runs becomes a regular thing. You do, at this point now, except with the exception of this weekend, because it's a cycle down week, almost every weekend, the Saturday run of the double long run sandwich is going to be 20 or 20 plus. And so this was the first one. And several years ago, I got to a point where I had kind of taken a 20 miler for granted, meaning they weren't really that hard to do. It was just really the time to get out there and do them. Because, let's face it, if you run enough and you run long enough and you repeat that, run long and run a lot and repeat, you're going to end up past the 20 mile mark at some point in time. And your body, which is very resilient, is going to get very used to it, and it can handle it. Well, I had gotten to the point where I was taking them for granted, meaning, I could maybe stay out a little bit late the night before, maybe have another beer, not get the right sleep, because I could still go out there and knock out a 20 miler because I'd done it so many times. And one time I learned, I took it for granted and I paid for it. And I don't remember specifically when that was. I just remember that I took the 20 mile distance for granted one time during a training run, and I got my ass kicked, and it just was a miserable experience. And so I've learned not to do that. And so that brings me back to this most recent 20 mile training run where I decided I was not gonna, mess up, screw up the night before. I was gonna get up and do it right. Well, it just so happened that the temperatures have been really, really cold, or they're warm now. Matter of fact, today it's 75 degrees. Not really sure why it's so warm down here in the center of the universe, but it it's a global warming thing. If you buy into that, I guess it's I guess that's what's happening. I don't know, but last weekend it was 26 degrees on a Saturday, so I don't know how you get the global warming out of that. But that's a whole separate issue that I'm don't really talk about in this podcast because it's about running. Okay, getting back to the 20 miler. So I had to leave the party early, and I left the party at 9 o'clock, and I only had 3 drinks. And I got home, and I think I got up at 5, and it was so cold. And I kind of have a rule where I still wear shorts when I run, unless it's like teens, and then I'll wear long pants. And I've got these really high socks that I can wear. They're not compression socks; they're just high. They're actually soccer socks that I got many years ago, and they work great because they're actually kind of warm. So I was wearing high socks and shorts, and completely unprepared for the cold. And so I get out there, I've only got 2 layers on, and I've got gloves on, and I'm running I ran the first 5 or 6 miles by myself, and then I met up with some other people and ran with them, I think the second 5 at a pretty fast clip. I was, it was much quicker than I was used to. And then I met up with a group of, it was Laura, Tom, Daryl, and Jeff, and a guy named Matt. And we got kind of split up where it was 3 and 3 of us. And so I was running a little bit faster clip, but it was nice to visit with these folks because they were at the party the night before too. And they had agreed to come out and meet me to help me through some of that mileage, because most of it was going to be by myself if I did not have someone to run it with, because my regular running group was all at the party and none of them wanted to get up early and run with me. And I think Ashley and Tom was out of town for a swim meet. So I dropped them off. They went inside the coffee shop and got coffee, and I continued on. And that's when I really started getting cold, and my gloves had gotten so wet and the wind was blowing such that my hands were freezing inside the gloves. So I pulled out my phone and I called my wife, and I told her I was gonna be looping by the house in a few minutes, and I needed her to put fresh dry gloves, and I have a nylon jacket to break the wind. I said, I need that stuff, and a dry shirt. I said, I need all that stuff put on the front porch, pronto, because I'm dying out here. I mean, I really needed some help. Well, she wasn't at the house, but she was just a few minutes away. So she went back. Oh, she's dropping her daughter off for an activity. This was at this point in time. This was around. This is after 8 o'clock. This is like 10 minutes after 8. I think I started at 6, a little before 6 in the morning. So I come by the house, and she's just, you know, putting the stuff out front, and all she found was pink gloves. I don't. She couldn't find any of the other gloves that I had. There wasn't really a whole lot of time. I didn't want to wait. I wanted to, you know, keep my momentum going, even though I was dying. I mean, I was just absolutely miserable. It was freezing. Not shivering, but just miserable. My hands were numb. So I got the pink gloves. And so picture this. I was wearing an orange. I got a real bright orange knit hat that I wear in the winter because it's for visibility. I had a green neon running vest on for visibility. And then I had pink gloves on and black shorts and then knee-high black socks with kind of a there's kind of a soccer logo on the back of the socks. And so I must have really looked pretty ridiculous. But once I got those dry gloves on, and once I got on a dry shirt and put the that jacket on to block the wind, I was a new man. I really was. And so I learned a lesson there that one of the listeners to the show named Marisa had sent me a copy of she's got a spreadsheet that she's got every possible scenario. She lives up in Michigan where it's cold as shit. And so she's got every possible scenario, I think, that she's ever encountered with running. And she knows what she wore that was effective. And so she's got that log in a spreadsheet. So whenever she has those conditions again, it's not one of these situations where you're sitting there at 6 in the morning or 5:15 and people are waiting on you and you're trying to figure out what to wear, which is exactly what happens to me. Because we just don't have these really, really cold temperatures again. Marisa, I hope you didn't mind me giving that example. I mean, I do think that spreadsheet is a good idea. I'm glad you sent it to me. It's just that I can't wear a bra, that's all. But I understand why you have that in your spreadsheet. So I really need to figure out how to address this. If I'm going to run through the winter, I got to get some better gear. And if you live up north, and I guess if you're a guy, I kind of need to know, what are you wearing to address this? Because I, you know, in Virginia, it maybe gets down in the 20s periodically. It really just doesn't that much. You know, we'll get snow maybe every other year. It really just doesn't get too bad down here where you can't handle it by, you know, maybe one glove change or whatever. So I'm just kind of looking for a little input there. That's at ashlanddave@gmail.com. Any input that you have on cold weather running gear would be great. I definitely will listen to that. So I was able, I got a change, got dry stuff on, and finished up that last five or so by myself, maybe six. And then I met up with three other ladies from the same party from the night before, Meriwether, Shelley, and Tracy, who's the wife of Ashlyn Bob, who I talk about sometimes in the podcast. And I ran with them and chatted with them for a while, and I was able to join them. And before I knew it, I had my 20 miles. And I felt great. I really did. I didn't have any issues at all with the 20 miles. I'm trying to remember what I did the rest of the day. I know that we had an activity. Oh, then we went to drove an hour and a half to another city and saw Santa Land Diaries at the American Shakespeare Center in Stanton, Virginia. So by the time I got home that night, about 9:30, just utterly exhausted. And then guess what I had to do? I had to get up on Sunday morning and run 10 miles because I needed to get to my 48 for the week because I was committed to doing that. I really was. I wanted to get, because I got to get up to past 50 for this training program that I'm working on for my 50-mile ultramarathon on March 5th. And then I got the warm-up race, which is a 50K on January 10th. We'll see how that goes. So I got up at, I think I got up at 4:30. I was running by 5:30, finished before 7:30. Everything went fine. It was cold, but not nearly as cold as the day before. And would you believe I liked the pink gloves so much, I wore them again on Sunday morning. In fact, I think I wore them with the exact, I wore the same outer socks and wore the same jacket, but obviously different shirt, different shorts. But it was the same combination. It wasn't as cold, but I probably looked as ridiculous on Sunday as I did on Saturday, but it was effective. And I kind of like the pink gloves now. They're an ASICS brand, you know, running gloves. And I think the only reason they're pink is because my wife bought them. I used to have some of my own, but they wore through or they got donated one time when I wore them down to the start of a race or something, and I wasn't going to run the whole race with them. I don't know how much they cost, but I just, you know, they weren't really expensive, so it was okay for me just to toss them. So I got my 10-miler in, and then I got picked up at 8:30, and we went up to FedEx Field to watch the Bills-Redskins game and was essentially on my feet all day, you know, tailgating, and then hardly anybody sits down in that stadium. And then I got home, and I don't know how I somehow got through the weekend, but come Monday, of course, that was a rest day. It was either Monday night or Tuesday night. I think it was Monday night. I think I was in the bed before 9 o'clock. It was just, everything just caught up to me. And, you know, it was a short week because of Christmas. But I was very, very happy that I got my 48 miles for the week, and that's gave me a lot of good confidence going into I'm cycling down this week, and then I go back up next week. Let's get to the email bag section of the show, because I really want to get to my message of peace, which is going to be right at the end of the show. It's a annual thing. I know I did it last year, and I think I'm not sure if the year before I called the show Message of Peace. But, you know, this time of year is just the time to kind of break it down a little bit and talk a little bit about, you know, what are some of the important things, and that's what I'm going to do at the end. But let me get to the email bag section of the show, and then we'll see who checked in this week. I heard from Steve Buani. I ran a 50K with Steve several years ago, or I think 2 years ago. It was the Dahlgren Heritage Trail 50K, which is held in August in Virginia, which is just miserable conditions. But he wrote in. He used to live up here in the Ashland area, but he's moved away, but he still listens to the show. He says, "Dave, I was listening to the latest show. Thought I'd drop you a message. I've been getting reacquainted with running lately. I've been spending a lot of time at the gym, not out on the road, but in the last few days I've been lacing up my shoes. It's been good." He talked about Captain America's his favorite superhero. He says he likes him because he didn't get a superpower by happenstance. He volunteered for an experiment that could very well have killed him. Instead, he became a champion for good. And then he he mentioned that is because I think in the last show I mentioned something about Captain America. I can't specifically remember what it was, but I know I did talk about it. He mentioned a podcast called The Fighter and the Kid, which he listens to. And he says it's a funny podcast, a little juvenile at times, but he says when you're having a bad day, a, quote, dick joke goes a long way. So I'll, I'm not sure exactly what that means, Steve. I think I might know what that means, but I'll have to listen, check out that podcast and check it out. It's called The Fighter and the Kid. I think that's one about a mixed martial arts fighter, if I'm not mistaken. He says, "Dave, hope you're having a good Advent. I'll make it out to Ashland soon. I was there for the lighting of the Christmas lights, and I thought I saw Monica from across the street." And yes, you did, Steve, and I did not make it out there. I worked till 5 that day, and the lighting was at 5:30. And by the time I got inside, got the dog taken care of, or whatever I did, I just could not get my act together, and I could not get up there for that. However, it sounds kind of sappy, but I was up there when they were practicing, turning on the lights. I saw everything cut on when they were testing everything, and I guess it wasn't the official lighting, but I guess that stands for something, I don't know. Heard from Down Under Dave in Australia. He's, "Hi Dave, my friend, hope that message finds you and your family well. Firstly, I'd like to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a wonderful year, a year full of challenging runs as well. I've now caught up on all my podcasts, and as usual, it's a pleasure running along listening to you. Living in Australia, he lives in Flinders Island, Tasmania. It's so very different from your own lifestyle, so it's good to hear your views on everything. I've had a difficult few weeks here. About a month ago, I ran a 50K race, which had extreme hills in it, and at the end, I was truly and utterly stuffed. I had found the hills too much, and afterwards, worried that there was some medical reason. I saw my trusty GP, I think that's general practitioner, who always just shakes his head at me when I tell him about my ultra running. He decided I should have a lung x-ray. As a result, I discovered that I have lost 10% capacity of one of my lungs from a bout of pneumonia I had last year, and furthermore, it's lost for good. I know I'm 68 years old, but I can't accept that I have to cut back, so bugger it. I have enrolled for perhaps the hardest 50K race in Australia in May 2016, which is called the Ultra Trail Australia in the Blue Mountains near Sydney, and I'm now incorporating a lot of hill repeats in my program, as well as now towing a car tire behind me down the road twice a week. The locals think I'm gone mad. I'm also keen on going to Nepal in November for a multi-day race, but because of the high altitude, I'm going to have to be very careful. I've got to see a specialist sometime to see if it's possible, but hey, what do they know? And Glad to hear your training's going okay for your races. You have a strong mind, so there's no doubt you perform well. Enjoy your break and happy running. And appreciate the email, Down Under Dave. As always, it's always good to hear from you. And you mentioned hill repeats, and the funny thing about that is I think I've lost my opportunity to do hill repeats. The race I'm doing on January 10th is not mountainous, but it's got hills. It's a trail race, and it does have hills, and it was the first 50K I did back in 2009. It's called the Willis River Trail 50K Trail Run now. It used to be called the Swinging Bridge 50K because you would run up to a swinging bridge. You didn't go across it. You just ran it. You could see it, and that was the turnaround point, and you went back. So I guess I could do some. I need to do some. I don't know if it's going to do any good at this point in time, but I just don't understand. How do you do a multi-race in Nepal? I mean, isn't that all mountains? I don't know. I guess maybe there's something else to it, but it's always good to hear from you, man. And I'm sorry to hear about your lung situation, but hopefully you can recover from that. I heard from a first-time emailer, but this guy Evan's been he's from Appleton, Wisconsin. He's been listening to the podcast for about 2 years, and he writes, "Hi to Ashley and Dave. I'm a first-time writer. I've been listening to your podcast for 2 years or so. You know how it is. Listen on the long drives, runs, get back to the house, get busy, never quite find the time to send a note and let you know I'm out here. I'm from Appleton, Wisconsin. I did a 50-miler last year, and I've signed up for my second in August of 2016. Anyway, he said he just listened to the 2 December podcast, thought he'd send a note about running apps. This is in response to, I'm convinced that the Map My Run app is short, the distance is short. I think it is. He says he's used a few of them over the years, Nike Plus, Map My Run, Strava. They all seem to give you different distances, so he just picked someone that works with his gear and has the best interface, and he settled on Strava or Strava. It's Strava. I have not checked it out yet, but I will. And that's me talking, not him. He says it links very nicely to the Garmin site. You get a free account, or you can buy a premium one. Then you link your account to your Garmin account. Then anytime the Garmin uploads its data, it automatically syncs to the Strava site. And you can share runs with friends, view charts, etc. He also says that he's listened to the podcast for a while. He says he doesn't always agree with everything I say, but he respects it. He says, you say what's on your mind, you back it up with sound logic. I think we need more people who are willing to voice their opinions and have solid reason behind it. Your stories are fun, and it's like chasing a rabbit, as I never quite know where you're going until you get to the end. And that was my favorite part of his email. It's very entertaining. Looking forward to listening to the new episodes. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And that is Evan out of Appleton, Wisconsin. And that's the kind of email that really motivates and inspires me, is that you know, you connect with people through the podcast, and now I know somebody else in Wisconsin. If I was ever to make my way up there and do an ultra, and certainly would check in with him to see, you know, if he was doing the same one. At least you'd know somebody there. You know, you never know when you need somebody to kind of point you in the right direction. And so, Evan, I really do appreciate you listening to the show and supporting it. And the part that you said about not always agreeing with everything I say but respecting it, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, I do the podcast because I have an opinion about certain things, and you know, that's fine that if people don't agree with me, that, you know, that's the whole point. I tell you one thing, if everybody is agreeing on the same stuff, then somebody ain't thinking. I mean, that's for sure. If everybody is always in agreement on everything, then somebody is not thinking. And I'm a big believer in that, and I do like to listen to other points of view, as long as it's done, you know, respectfully. And I know sometimes in my show I've probably been a little disrespectful to some people, but anyway, I appreciate the email, Evan, and I hope you keep listening, and hope you have a nice Christmas and Happy New Year as well. Heard from, I solicited this email. This is from Scott Johnson, because he did a, he's got a podcast called Ultra Finishers, and the reason I wrote into his show and the reason I wanted to mention it is because he did, and there's an interview on this podcast with a guy named Jamie, and I'm going to give you his name in a minute. It's called ultrafinishers.com. Jamie Woyton, Woyton. It's episode, just go to ultrafinishers.com, and you'll scroll down and you'll see the interview with Jamie Woyton. And it's an incredible story about his experience during the Daytona 100 Ultra Marathon, which was on November 7th, and just the experience he had with his sons. And I just really want to call your attention to it. If you're into the human side of the strength of the human spirit, and if that kind of stuff and stories like that kind of inspire you when you're running, this is the podcast for you to listen to. So go to ultrafinishers.com. You can also check it out on iTunes. Download that episode, and I don't think you'll be disappointed. I really did like it. In fact, I might even listen to it again. I was listening to this guy. He was starting to cry, describing his experience with his son's crewing him in the ultra marathon. And I swear I was crying right alongside this guy when I was running. I mean, it was an incredible episode, and my hat's off to Scott Johnson for getting that kind of material out there. And then in another email I got from Scott, this is the big disappointment email, is that the Graveyard 100 was canceled. This is the race that I was going to be working the finish line on March 12th. No, was it March 12th? I think it was. Yeah, it was going to be the week after my ultra down in Mississippi. This is the one that has some world class ultra runners. Connie Gardner ran it 1 year. Valmar Nunez has run it each year. And this would have been, I ran the 100K the first year it came out, and then they've discontinued the 100K, but I've worked the finish line each subsequent year that I did it. And it got canceled because the race director apparently has a marital issue, and I think one of them owns the company, and one of them canceled it. So it's canceled, and I'm not going to be able to go. And the sad thing about it is that I heard about it, even though I'm considered, you know, quote, staff of the race, I'm the finish line captain, I heard about it from Scott Johnson, who saw something about it on Facebook. And that just kind of rubbed me a little bit wrong. I felt like I should have gotten an email from the race director, you know, canceling it. But when I did a little checking on that to find out, turns out the person who I was expecting to hear from didn't have the email database. So I guess there were some issues there. Extremely disappointed, and the reason I like this is because I actually was kind of thinking this might be my first attempt at a 100-miler was going to be the Graveyard. It's run along Route 12 of the Outer Banks of North Carolina, which is my favorite vacation spot, and it starts in Corolla and finishes in Hatteras, and it's a coastal road, and I just had an incredible experience when I ran the 100K down there, because it was an overnight race where I started in the afternoon and finished when the sun came up in the morning. It was just a very incredible experience. And so if time ever came, I was going to that was going to be the one that I was going to do. But it's been canceled now, and that's a big, big disappointment. All right, next one is from Monica, and this is my wife. She actually sent me an email as a listener of the show. I kind of joke a lot with my wife a lot. And she did get banned from either crewing for me or being at my marathons because, kind of a long story, but we have a different perspective on why it happened. But she sent an email in to clarify for the listeners. She says, Dave, I want you to know I thoroughly enjoyed your podcast on the long run sandwich today. Though I do want to clarify for your listeners the reality behind the situation of me getting banned from races. In truth, you banned me from the finish line, which I think was based on a misunderstanding that clearly stems from the fact that you have an addled brain after you finish a long run. And I had to look that word up because I didn't know it. And addled means unable to think clearly or confused. Second definition is rotten. So I'm thinking she's going with the first definition. I was not asking to be run support for you, and you have a general policy, or we have a general policy that friends don't let friends sag for spouses. So I was going to give her another chance at the 50K on January 10th, but she's actually busy with something with my daughter that day, with our daughter, and so she's not going to get a chance, and she won't be in Mississippi in March, and the next ultra I have planned, unless I do one in between, is probably sometime, I think it's March or April of 2017 is one in Michigan, and she won't be going to that either. So I'll have to find one in between or something where she can resurrect herself, so to speak. And I also heard from Foolish Phil, and this was actually just an add-on in reference to the Tunnel Hill Ultra. He sent some some information on that, and I did look at that. It's called the Tunnel Hill 100, and I think that was Illinois, Vienna, Illinois. It's a 50-miler and a 100-miler, and it's apparently a great course. And Phil, I really do appreciate you sending that information in. They even give a buckle for the 50-miler. The Mississippi Trail 50, if you finish in 12 hours, you get a buckle. And I know that sometimes the belt buckle is reserved for 100-mile ultramarathons. But, you know, running 50 miles is no sip, you know, this ain't no sipping tea either. It's pretty damn hard to cover 50 miles in 12 hours. So if they're offering a buckle, I'll definitely take it, no doubt. Also heard from Christina over at the Lazy Bones blog, and she still listens to the show. I got a nice Christmas card from her, so that was very nice. And I did get a couple Christmas cards from listeners to the show, people that I've gotten to know over the years. So that is very cool. And neither one of those, I got two, and neither one of them had glitter, I'm happy to say. And I'm sad to also pass on some news. A friend of mine that died, a much older friend of mine, he said he was 80s. Well, there was an article in the newspaper about him. I'll include that. I'll try to put it in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. He's a guy that played Santa Claus a good part of his life, and his name was Glenn Crone, and we've gotten to know him and his wife, Sybil, pretty well through church. Consummate gentleman, somewhat of a wordsmith, kind of knew a little bit about everything. He was a veteran of the Second World War and played Santa every year. And I wasn't necessarily one that ever let my daughter go sit on Santa's lap because I thought most of them were perverts, but he was not. He was a very nice guy. He was an actor. Went on to sell real estate for most of his life. And I was only 5'5", but he was larger than life. And we'll definitely miss Glenn Crone. We'll be going to his funeral next week if I can get everything worked out. I know my wife will be going. So that's the email bag section of the show. I want to pass on my message of peace for the upcoming year. And that's something I did last year. And I'm gonna read a little thing that I have here. I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And this is something that we keep on our refrigerator at our house, and it's something that I would like to share with everybody in the podcast, and maybe you can pick up something on it. This is kind of how we try to live our lives. We're by no means perfect, but it's some guidelines. And it's called Take Time. Take time to think. It is the source of power. Take time to play. It is the secret of perpetual youth. Take time to read. It is the fountain of wisdom. Take time to pray. It is the greatest power on earth. Take time to love and be loved. It is a God-given privilege. Take time to be friendly. It is the road to happiness. Take time to laugh. It is the music of the soul. Take time to give. It is too short a day to be selfish. Take time to work. It is the price of success. Take time to do charity. It is the key to heaven. And this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, reminding you to run to the finish. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids. And I'll talk to you in 2016.